And now let us prepare to hear a word from God this morning. Join me with our prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. We are continuing with our worship sermon series offered by the United Methodist Church Discipleship, and it is really focusing on social justice issues and what does it mean to live as people who believe in the resurrection of Jesus in this Easter season. And so we are using both the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John to form our messages each week. And so now I invite you to hear our first, which comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. You're welcome to follow along with your pew Bible on page 1496. Hear now these words. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" Said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John. I invite you to stand in a posture of praise as we hear from the 10th chapter this morning. At the time of the festival of the dedication, as it took place in Jerusalem, it was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, as we continue our journey as resurrection people in this Easter season, we continue to immerse ourselves in words of writing meant to lift up the community. And yet we hear the echoes of Jesus' words throughout his ministry. And as we hear of what it means to partake in the spring of living water, quench our spirits. Embolden us to drink deeply from the well of your love. Guide and lead us as your faithful disciples. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have a question for you. And this is probably a science guy, so I'm looking at you, Russell. What is the thing that makes us our human body? What's that one thing that we need that we are made up of? What? Water. Yes. Russell's like, that's outside my scientific knowledge. It is water. We're, what, 70% water? And when we think about nourishing our bodies, we could probably go much longer without food for nutrition than we can go without water. That by the time you notice that you are thirsty, chances are you are behind your water intake for the day. Let me say that again. By the time you notice you are thirsty, you are behind your intake for the day. And sometimes, and I know I am wholeheartedly guilty of this, that I'm like, well, I had 2 cups of coffee this morning. Am I right? Or I had my cup of tea this morning. Guess what? That does not count for your water intake. And I hate that. And yet I realize that. That we truly do need that water for our bodies to function appropriately, for our cells to work the way that they need to work, to rejuvenate all of those places within our bodies. We need water to survive. And so when we think about water and we think about the world, a good portion of our earth is covered with water. But here's the question, how much of that is actually drinkable? Have you ever thought about that? Because you can't exactly go to the ocean, the beach, the shoreline, and grab yourself a cup of water out of the ocean and drink it. I mean, you could, but I don't recommend it. Why? Because it's chock full of what? Salt. And salt will counteract the things of the water to really nourish your body the way that it needs to. And so then we have to think, where are those sources of water that I can actually take into my body that will serve me well? Right? How many of you drink water straight out of the tap? Some of us. How many of you really like that function of being able to do filtered water straight out of your refrigerator? And how many of you maybe have those water dispensers in your workplaces that have the big 5-gallon jugs of water, and you have that, and so that you know you could, with just the touch of a button, you can either touch the blue button or the red button, get cold and hot water? You know that function I'm talking about? Easy access, right? And then there might be some who we make sure that we pick up that case of bottled water, and every time we go, we might grab a bottle, which, you know, for some of us is not exactly good creation care, right? So there's this push to carry your own refillable water bottle, and water fountains that were available have now changed to these water bottle filling stations. Have y'all seen these? And I don't know about you, but I love to go up to them and see the little numbers that says, we've saved X number of gallons of water, right? And it's like, oh, wow, I'm doing my part to fill my water, right? But what does that have to do with us here as a community of faith, right? Because we can sit and we can think about how, you know, we need access to water and where we might get it from, but do we extend that consideration to people outside of our immediate families, outside of our communities? And it really made me think about water in all of its forms and how it is transformative in the world. And I know for us, sometimes as much as we acknowledge that water is necessary for life, we also recognize some of the destructiveness that can come with water. last fall, we know that Hurricane Helene came through and the decimation that happened because of the enormous amount of water and how landscapes were totally changed forever, communities impacted from that. And what really made me think a little bit as I was driving through Southwest Virginia last week is to think that for some, their water for life may come from wells. That their water for life may actually come from a spring creek through cracks in the mountains. And then I think about the water that maybe has been contaminated because of industry, like coal ash. Or we put things into a water source, not realizing that miles down the stream, every bit that goes into it changes its availability to be consumed in a healthy way by people. Which makes me think about places where there have been initiatives to go into areas in the world where water is not easily accessible, right? There have been well digging organizations that they will raise funds and go and dig a well because they know that with a consistent source of water, their survival is more possible, that they're able to have the necessary water to ingest, but also to grow crops or to feed cattle, right? That water is the very crux of their ability to live and to live life abundantly. And then I hear the word from Revelation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Which then echoes for me the words of baptism. That through the waters we are washed of our sin and incorporated into the family of God, and we are born of the Spirit. That there is something that is renewed through the power of that water. And just as they were clothed in white by washing in the blood of the Lamb, meaning Jesus, Jesus is that source of life. And then we hear the multitude, the crowd of all of the persons who are gathered, and each one of them recognizing that this true life comes from Jesus. That they are participating in the resurrected life of Jesus so that they become a witness to the goodness of God, both in life and after resurrection. That they sing their praises to God and giving glory for the goodness. And then I was sitting and I was thinking about water and living water and springs of water, and it brought me back to another very familiar story in the Gospel of John, and it is the woman at the well who goes in the middle of the day and has a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus makes a promise to her. The water that I can give you, your body will thirst no more, but you will have eternal life. Because that is what I offer you. And what we tend to get muddled in are the circumstances. What time of day was the woman at the well? Was she there early in the morning or late at night? Or was she there in the middle of the day? Well, I'm going to give you the answer. She was there in the middle of the day. Because she was ostracized from the community. She wanted to avoid the crowd's judgment on her because of her life circumstances. And Jesus knew who she was. Jesus knew all the facets of her life, and he still promised her the gift of eternal life through living water. Which then brings us back to the idea of what is it about water and why does it matter for us? Water is transformative. That with our baptisms, with us coming to this fount of living water to worship a God, we are reminded that all of the things that we don't want to bear witness to in the world have already been taken care of because of Jesus. Those places of brokenness, those places of sin, those places of where we have turned away from the needs of our neighbors or those that we don't yet know, that has been remedied because of Jesus. And do we acknowledge that? Do we understand that Jesus reforms who we are and transforms us? And if that is the case, do we live our lives to bear witness to that? If we come to the fount to receive living water, do we then make sure others also receive living water? And it can be physical, right? Tangible, literal, or it can be spiritual. Because I promise that if we are attentive to the physical needs of our neighbors and our community, we will also be able to be attentive to their spiritual needs. But it's hard to do when we seem to have water all around us, right? Because our needs are met. And we forget that there are others out there who are desperate to know of the living water. And so as a community, let us think about ways that we can care for one another. Where is the thirst in our community? Is it literal? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? And allow God to use us to pour out the living water into those places. Because as Easter people, as post-resurrection people, our lives have been changed, and we are called to share that change with others, that we may all gather and bow down and worship the one who gives us eternal life. You're not going to look at your showers in the morning the same again, are you? I had a tag that I got that said, basically, as I shower in this setting, may I remember the waters of my baptism that I am clothed in the white robe of Jesus, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in that, we may find eternal life. And live it so that others may also experience the life-giving water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.